Tonight is Tuesday night. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're in the doing topics this year emerging from Masechet Brachot, and we're doing the mitzvah of Hallel. Okay, last week we focused on a debate whether Hallel is a d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. Today we're going to see a perspective developed by the Ramban as to what the connection is. What is the connection between the mitzvah of Hallel and every single Yom Tov? The Ramban believes that the origin of the mitzvah of Hallel is not a mitzvah of Hallel, but it's the mitzvah of Simcha. And that as an expression of the mitzvah of Simcha, one engages in the recitation of Hallel. So if you take the first sheet, which is the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvot, we looked at it last week where the Ramban tried to defend the Baal Halachot Gedolot against the critique of the Ramban. The Ramban said it is ridiculous to count rabbinic mitzvot as part of the 613 mitzvot. And the Ramban gave as one of his illustrations, how can you count Hallel? That's because the Rambam believed that Hallel is always a mitzvah with the Rabbanan. But the Rambam disagreed. And he is now going to give us a little basis into understanding what might be the origin. So actually, before you look at page 1, please look at page 3. And we'll see what pasuk the Rambam refers to. So this is Parshat Bahalotah, Bamidbar chapter 10. And the overall topic is the mitzvah of the Chatzotzrot, fashioning two trumpets to be sounded for a variety of reasons. There might be a reason because you want to talk to everybody, and since there are no texts or emails, you have to have a signal to assemble everybody. So the way you do it is you blow a code, the codes are identified here, what to blow, and then everybody will come. There is another purpose which the Torah tells us, when you want to indicate that you're supposed to move. Don't forget, we're traveling in the desert. So how do you signal to everybody that we're about to move? So they would blow a series of blasts and indicate, that would pack up, let's get moving. Then there is in Pasuk Tet and Pasuk Yud, there are two other uses of the Chatzotzrot. One is the Chitavol Milchama Be'Artzachem Al Hatzar Hatzoreretem, if you shall enter into battle in either the conquest or defense of Eretz Yisrael against your enemy, what shall you do? V'hare yotem b'chatzotzrot. You sound the chatzotzrot. And since the verb form here is hare yotem, the primary note is the trum'ah, the broken sound, because it is a time of crisis. We're being attacked. Now, what does the blowing of the shofar accomplish anything? It doesn't really accomplish much at all. So what the blowing of the shofar accomplishes is simply that it serves as the signal for Am Yisrael, the non-military combatants, to come to shul and to pray. That is the signal that if there's any type of crisis, if there is an extended famine, if there is an extended drought, if there is an illness, deber, a plague going on, or a war, the illustration is war, but it's anything. So you want to rally everybody to come to shul to daven, and it's indicated by v'hare yotem v'chatzotzrot. However, in Pasuk Yud, uv'yom simchatchem uv'moadechem uv'rashei chodshechem, on your days of rejoicing and your holidays and Rosh Chodesh, Utkaten b'chatzotzrot alalotechem v'alzitchei shalmechem. You shall blow with the trumpets a tekiah, the straight sound, which is a signal that we're not necessarily in difficulty. When do you blow these chatzotzrot? Alalotechem v'alzitchei shalmechem. When you bring your korban olah, olak ri'iyah, when you bring the korbanot of the mikdash, and when you bring your zikhei shalmechem, your korban shlamim, when we go to the Beit HaMikdash, we're obligated to bring both an olak ri'iyah and a shalmei simcha. You have to bring korban shlamim, which you share with your family, and a korban olah, which is in effect given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the theme, the common denominator of all of these days is that they are designated as Yom Simchatchem. U'v'moadeichem. U'v'rasheichatcheichem. So what do you do? Utkatem b'chatzotzrot al oloseichem v'al zivchei shalmeichem. So now, citing this particular pasuk, now go back to page number one for a minute. So, this is already page Lamed Vav, as you can see in the Sefer HaMitzvot. So the Rambam and the Ramban have already at least 36 of these pages being still in Shoresh Aleph. Mm-hmm. In the first Shoresh, they're debating back and forth whether mitzvot de Rabbanan can be one of the 613. So the Ramban writes, after his whole presentation, v'hanir'ah midivrehem, what appears from everything that I marshaled support for, shehu min ha-Torah. The mitzvah of Halel is not a rabbinic commandment, but it is the Oraisa, Kamo Shepirashi, as I explained many pages ago, of what might be the origin if it's the Oraisa, the Yeh, choice one, Hei Lamed Men, Halacha, Lamoshe, Nisina. In other words, Mo came down from Sinai and told us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me that you're supposed to recite Hallel on Yom Tov. And there is no textual biblical source, but it has a din d'oraita. Halacha l'moshe nisina. There are many things in our tradition that are halacha l'moshe nisina. For example, all shiurim, halachic measurements, the fact that a mechitza has to be 10 tfachim, 40 inches, that's a halacha l'moshe nisina. The fact that when you eat and you want to fulfill a mitzvah of eating, you have to eat a kizayis. I don't know what's kizayis. Because it's halacha l'moshe nisina. Then it is a kizayis. All shiurim are halacha l'moshe nisina. The fact that we bring and pour on the mizbeach during the Yom Tov of Sukkot, in addition to wine, we also have misuch hamayim. We pour water on the mizbeach. That's a halacha l'moshe nisina. There is no source in the Torah that indicates that you're supposed to pour water on the mizbeach. So there are many. So the Ramban suggests maybe halel on the chagim is a halacha l'moshe nisina. Oh, perhaps shehu bichlal hasimcha. Perhaps it's part of the mitzvah of simcha of simchat yom tov. Shenitzkaviluva, kimo shekatu, just as it is written, as we just learned it, ubiyom simchatem ubomoadechem uburashechachechem utkatem bachatzotzrot alotechem bazikhei shamechem. Ki ikar hashira depeh. There were two methods of singing praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One were musical instruments. And in fact, some believe Ikar Shira Bikli. Some believe that the primary expression of singing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by the musical instruments that we'll play. So every day in the last parak of Tehillim, chapter 150, which we recite at the end of Pesukei Dezimra, it tells you the meaning, the ugav, betzilzulei srua, and so on and so forth. So David HaMelech makes reference to some of the musical instruments that were used in the Mikdash. However, the Ramban paskins, no. Ikar Shira Bipeh. The primary mitzvah of Shira is done by the Levian who sing. The cantors, the ones who have the good voices, the ones who are not the doormen. Because Levian only have two jobs. You're a doorman or a choir man. One of the two. So, the kli, and what's the function of the musical instruments? Libasume kala, to augment the voice. When you have the orchestra background, it really adds something to the singing, with the choir and everything. Vinitztavinu b'simchat hashir al hakorban, u'shelo b'shat hakorban b'chlal hasimcha. It's both times. It's in the context of what? Of the korbanot. And not in the context of the korbanot. So when is it not in the context of the korbanot? The recitation of Hallel. And the Ramban believes that one of the expressions of v'samachta v'chagecha, to rejoice during our festivals, one of the expressions of v'samachta v'chagecha is to recite the Hallel. Yes, v'samachta v'chagecha means that you should eat meat and drink wine. But it also means, and perhaps primarily, it means to say Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rav spent many, many shiurim developing the idea that the essence of Simcha is not the consumption of meat or drinking wine. The essence of Simcha is, as the Pasuk states in Vayikra chapter 23, which you must know by heart, and it states in verse 41, Usmachten lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivat yamim. To recognize that you're in the company, the shadow of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That when a person has an opportunity to engage in witnessing Gilui Shechinah, divine revelation, that is the greatest sense of rejoicing that we can possibly have. And that Simcha is one of the few mitzvot which has a separate Ma'aseh HaMitzvah and a Kiyum HaMitzvah. A Kiyum HaMitzvah. Most mitzvot, the action and the essence of the fulfilled mitzvah is the same thing. That when you eat a piece of matzah, the Ma'aseh HaMitzvah is to eat a piece of matzah, and the Kiyum HaMitzvah is to eat a piece of matzah. The Ma'aseh HaMitzvah is to sit in the sukkah, and the Kiyum HaMitzvah is to sit in the sukkah. There are a handful of mitzvot, Shema, where the Ma'aseh HaMitzvah is to read the text. But the Kiyum HaMitzvah is to think that I'm accepting the yoke of heaven, Kabbalat Malchut Shemayim. Aveilus, the Ma'aseh HaMitzvah is to sit on the floor, don't wear shoes, wear a ripped garment. But the kiyum is not the action. The kiyum is the sense of loss that you experience, hopefully experience, during the 7 days of the Shiva. And the same thing, the Rav felt, is the mitzvah of Simcha. The Ma'aseh HaMitzvah is to eat meat and to drink wine. The kiyum HaMitzvah is to recognize that I am standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you enter the Mikdash, when you are lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. And in fact, every single time that the Torah uses the mitzvah of Simcha, it's always lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Every single time. So once you are privileged to stand in a place where we believe spiritually. There is a greater recognition of the contact between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way a person reacts to that is to burst into Hallel and sing praises unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this incredible privilege that we are experiencing in the Mikdash. So that is how the Ramban believes that that the mitzvah of Hallel is a din d'oraisa. Now, not everybody agrees with the Ramban. In the next year, we will see a completely different tack as to how we see that Hallel is a din d'oraisa. But according to the Ramban, it emerges from the mitzvah of Simcha. And in his commentary in Chumash, the Ramban includes it in a rather broad, general, sweeping phrase, Mikra Kodesh. Every single festival is called a Mikra Kodesh, a day of proclaiming sanctity. What in the world does that mean? It can't mean that you don't do malacha, because it says, Komalechet Avodah Lo Tasu. It can't mean that you come to the Mikdash necessarily, because it says, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, three times, you know, Yera'eh, Penei Hashem L'techa. You're supposed to see the Chagam HaSot, and so on and so forth. So what does Mikra Kodesh mean? So the Ramban has several suggestions as to what Mikra Kodesh might mean. It might include Kriyat HaTorah about the Chag. In other words, to learn in Yonei D'Yoma, to learn Yonei Chag is an expression of Mikra Kodesh. So too, according to Ramban in his commentary Chumash, the mitzvah of Hallel is an expression of Mikra Kodesh on the Chagim.
Yes. He doesn't use the Rashi here.
What?
He doesn't consider Rashi Shir, but other people have his...
No. He does not. He means specifically the Hallel of David HaMelech. What we call Hallel.
But you said it may not be
there. That's correct. But he believes it is. Yeah. Yes.
What?
That is correct. But so what we do is we make a broad extension from the fact that you're obligated to observe the Lotah set of the Chag, and you're also obligated to observe the Yaseh. Right. Now, I don't want to go into the midst of Simcha now, but the Rambam is a very unusual version and understanding about Simcha. According to the way he looks at it, women don't have to do anything unusual for the midst of Simcha. It's the burden upon the husbands to buy them nice clothing and jewelry so that they can be Misameach. It's very others say, no, women have to be Misameach too. That they have the same obligation to eat meat and so on and so forth.
And
to recite Hallel. That is correct. That is correct. Yes. Yes. We'll soon see a Shabbos Aryeh, if we have time for that tonight, who will say that specifically the halacha of women reciting Hallel, that is a Gemara and Sukkah about, that'll be the last thing we do, if we have time, indicates that it's only the Rabbanah against the Rabbah. But we'll see. According to the Ramban, yes, 100%. Now, I want to take care of something else. Yeah. Go to page 2 for a second. Now, the Ramban gets bogged down for a little while about the mandatory recitation of Hallel on Hanukkah. Now, there are two rabbinic holidays, according to the Gemara, Purim and Hanukkah. Now, Purim has a mitzvah of Simcha. Has a mitzvah of Simcha. In the Megillah it says, that what did they do? Masosa, Yimei Mishkeh V'Simcha. Purim has an element of Simcha. In fact, the Gemara asks the question, why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? Answers to Gemara. That's one answer. What's the next answer? The Megillah is the Hallel. Megilta Zuhi Halelia. And the Ramban and many Rishonim Paskin, that if you don't have a Megillah, there's no Megillah around, you recite Hallel, the regular Hallel, with the bracha. In fact, there are some Rishonim who believe, we don't Paskin like them, that if you're in the middle of Shiva and Purim comes, it uproots the mitzvah, terminates the Shiva, just like every other Yom Tov. Because what dimension terminates the Avelus on Yom Tov? The mitzvah of Simcha. It's incompatible with Avelus. Now, we don't pass him like that. But we do accept that the principle in Avel doesn't sit Shiva for 2 days. Not on Purim, not on Shushan Purim. And Avel doesn't sit Shiva. So it counts as 2 of the 7 days, but we don't sit Shiva. Why don't we sit Shiva? Because it's one of the ways of expressing because of the mitzvah of Simcha. So I understand, according to the Ramban says, I understand the notion of Hallel on Purim. But the Braita, which we learned last week, that there are 18 days a year, so it's the 8 days of Sukkot and the 8 days of Chanukah. There is no mitzvah of Hallel. We sit Shiva on the 8 days of Chanukah. Doesn't interrupt, doesn't do anything, doesn't cancel, doesn't interrupt. We sit Shiva. There is no mitzvah of a si'uda on Chanukah. There is none. The Ramah says, yeah, no, it's a mitzvah laharbos sas, to have 48 lockers. That's the Ramah. That's what Ramah says. But al pidin, it's not like Purim, where there is a real obligation to have si'uda purim. You must have that. So the Ramban is a little perplexed. How am I going to squeeze my theory into Chanukah? So he throws in the towel and he says, yeah, that's only the Rabbanan, of course. That's only the Rabbanan. But he believes that Hallel and Purim is Doraisa. It's a Doraisa. Because there's a mitzvah Simcha on Purim. It's not mentioned amongst the 18 days because it has its Megillah. But as I said, if you don't have the Megillah, you recite the Hallel. However, on page 2 where I bracket, Abba Hallel Lachilas Psachim Unetilas Lulav Yia Min HaTorah. That will be Min HaTorah. And based on everything that I just discussed previously. And then he concludes his little response, Umikol Makom Ba'al HaHalachot Patur mikol hakviyot vahatarumot halot. The Baal Halachot Gedolot, he counted Hallel as one of the 613. So the Ramban was all over him. How can you count a mitzvah in the Rabbanah? Says the Ramban, he didn't count that a mitzvah in the Rabbanah. What is it? It's a Doraita. So all of the tarumot and tviot, all of the complaints, And the big tumult that you made about the Bahad, Countenance of Allah, says the Ramban, he's patur, he can be excused from all of those arguments, because I just defended him very nicely, and that it could be a mitzvah de oraita to recite the Hallel as an expression of Simcha. In fact, you who came tonight will be privileged to know something about our davening, which most people are ignorant about. Okay? So, if you take page number 4 and 5, page number 4 and 5, here you have Tfilat Shacharit of Shabbat morning. And the way our Shacharit is formulated, we say the paragraph V'lo nisato Hashem l'ken goyer atzo, fine. And that paragraph technically ends L'zera ya'akov asher bom b'chart. The next 3 lines are really part of another paragraph that is omitted by Shachar. What is the beginning of this paragraph by Mosef? Don't look, you should know this. Yismechu b'malkuscha shomrei Shabbos b'kol reyom. So now go to page 5, and there you see say I'm the kasher shvi, but it's introduced with yismuchu b'malchus sfar. Anybody here daf nusach sfar? Anybody nusach sfar? No? You daf nusach sfar? You have. So do you remember what nusach sfar does by shachrus with yismuchu b'malchus sfar? They say it. That phrase is in the Sfardi Siddur, and it also happens to be recited Friday night as well. We go. We just say by a fool Hashemayim Baaretz, go Shemas Makom Hashem Alatzot. Then we go to the Hegel Lam Sein, we say from the Chasein. In the Sfardi Siddur, it says Yisrael Malchus for Friday night too. And the Rav once said, they are wrong. We are right. Why? Where did they get this idea that Shabbos is a day of Simcha? Yisnechu b'malchuscha shomrei Shabbos v'kar yomei. Where's the mitzvah of Simcha Shabbos? We don't do anything that seems to indicate. However, in the phrase of the pasuk that we study in Parshat Ba'alotcha, it says there, we'll go back to the pasuk on page number 3. Go back to page number 3. It says, Uv'yom simchatchem uv'moadechem. Now, if you wanted to phrase, if you believe that the word simchatchem is just a characteristic defining the days of moadechem, chvashe chadshechem, what is wrong with the word uviyom simchatchem? It's not redundant. It's not the right way to describe that moed is a yom simcha. What would you write? Ubiyom simchat moadechem uvirashay chachechem. On the days of simchat yom tov and simchat rosh chodesh, what should you do? Uskat
b'chatzotzot. That is above there. It's two
things. Good. And the phrase ubiyom simchatchem seems to indicate that what is simchatchem? It's a separate, independent day.
Exactly.
Oh, so we can't just say that on our own. We can't say that on our own.
Wait, Shabbos has the characteristics, though.
What?
The Shabbos does have those same characteristics. We have a Suda, right?
There's no mitzvah to drink wine on Shabbos. Take a little bite of the kid.
You're supposed to have three meals.
Yes, that's part of the mitzvah of Kivu and Olney.
Okay, but Hashem is close to us.
That is correct.
So we're saying,
but there is no obligation to go to the Mikdash where we demonstratively indicate we're getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you go to page 6 for a minute, Uviyom Simchatem, this is the Sifri, the Midrash Halacha and Sefer Bamidbar, the Midrash Halacha. Uviyom Simchatem, what does the Sifri say? Eilu Shabbaton. That in Mikdash, there is a chiyuv simcha on Shabbos as well. In the Beis HaMikdash, there is a chiyuv simcha as well. Not any place else. Not any place else. Eilu Shabbatot.
What's the expression?
Uviyom simchatem, Eilu Shabbatot.
How do we express that?
Okay, so now here is how we're going to express it. So in the Beis HaMikdash, the recitation of Hallel took place every Shabbat in the Mikdash, according to the Ramban, when they offered the Korban special from the Korban Musaf for Shabbos. And our davening, said the Rav, indicates that it's only a halacha in Mikdash. How do we communicate this Sifri only in Mikdash? Correct. We only recite it in Tfilas Musaf. tefillah shacharit has a value independent of its association with the korban. Yes, the tefillah shacharit somehow parallels, mirrors the korban tamid shel shachar. Yes, tefillah mincha parallels, mirrors the korban tamid shel bein arbayim. But it also has its own independent chiyut by virtue of the fact that that's the way we communicate our petitions unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillat Musaf has no such feature. No section to engage in individual bakashot for Tefillat Musaf. The entire Tefillat Musaf is designed only for one reason: to commemorate the Korban Musaf that was offered in the Beit HaMikdash. So when we daven Maariv or Shacharit, we Ashkenazim, we acknowledge that in Chutz La'aretz there is no, and even all of Eretz Yisrael, there is no mitzvah of Simcha in relationship to Shabbos. So we don't say Yismechu b'malchuscha shomrei Shabbos v'tomrei onim. However, in the Beis HaMikdash there was. So how do we commemorate the fact that in the Beit HaMikdash there was an element of simcha in accordance with this sifri? We recite the phrase Yischu Malchuscha only in Tefillat Musaf. That's the difference. And the Nusaf Sfar and in Gotan Mizrach, apparently they don't believe this, and they recite it all the time, generating the impression that Shabbat has an element of simcha every single Shabbat. And it's not true. It is not true. Not true. Yeah. So that's what that Gemara says.
Is it possible that the extra word... I'll tell you what, before you told us that the extra word was for Shabbat, the thought that went through my mind was, he's saying that... saying halal on Purim, for example, is d'oraita, when Purim didn't even exist back then. What was meant, I think, is days that will be designated in the future as days that are obligated to have simcha, those days are going to get out. So that's what that extra word is.
That's possible. That is possible. That the Yom Simchas then are aside from the legislative days, which I'm going to record in a second. There will be days in the future which you will declare as you may Simcha, and therefore you have to say. So in our day and age, that would fill in exactly. Would fill in the Yom exactly 100%. No doubt.
But Yom Ha'atzmaut doesn't have all the characteristics.
That is correct. That's because we don't have leaders.
We should have
sued 100%. Yom HaTzmaut should be a bona fide Yom Tov. Not any less than Purim and Hanukkah, and perhaps even more. Even more. You know, Avi Weiss always made the point. If you don't have ritual, you don't have observance. He's 100% right. Can you imagine the mitzvah of commemorating Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there is no Seder? Just remember. It would mean nothing. I mean, reading it like a Mishma, that would be it. It's only because that we have a fully developed ritual that people have bought into it. In the last statistic that I read, 91% of the people in Medinat Yisrael went to some kind of Seder last year. 91%. That's incredible. You know, whether it speaks a lot about what having a Medina does in terms of raising the religious consciousness of people. 91% are not from, that's for sure. Maybe 25% of the people are from. And 72%, they said, fast Yom Kippur. That's an incredible number. That's correct, but it's not 91%. It's not 91% either of the two, and 72, not 72% of American Jews are not fasting on Yom Kippur. That's for sure. So it plays an enormous role. And you know, if you wanted to have Rosh Hashanah, but no key shofar, you know, just raise the yom hadin, it would be meaningless. And we should, the more that we would do in terms of religious symbols, it would endow the day with much greater significance and meaning. There's no doubt. No doubt. So that's with that pasuk. Now, Rosh Chodesh, according to the text, has an element of simcha in the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Uvo Rosh HaShechem. Yet, for some reason, I can't explain why, there is no recognition of that element outside the Beit HaMikdash either. How do I know? Because until Rav, the Amoraic sage of the early 3rd century, came to Bavel, he never ever said Hallel in his life on Rosh Chodesh. And I want to read the Gemara which Rav discovers the recitation of Hallel, and his blood was boiling. He wanted to stop them. What kind of move Mishigas is this? So this is a Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit, page 7. A Gemara in Masechet Ta'anit, page 7. Da Chofchet Amud Bet, page 28b in Masechet Ta'anit. So the Gemara initially quotes that famous braita that I told you about. That's the top bracketed section. The Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yotzaba. Rav Yochanan said the name Rav Shimon Yotzaba. Shmona asar yom bashana, yachid gomer bahem et ha'alel. There are 18 days a year where every single individual, whether you daven with a minyan or without a minyan, recites the halal. The Elohim, Shmona kumei achar, 8 days of Sukkot. Shmona kumei chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah. Yom tov harishon shel Pesach, first day of Pesach. The Yom tov harishon shel Atzeret, and the first day of Sukkot. Ubagola, and in the diaspora, Esrim ve'echad yom, there are 21 days. Tish'at yom ve'echad, the ninth day, the 9 days of Sukkot, Simchas Torah, the added day which we observe in Galut, Ushnei yamim harishon shel Pesach, the first 2 days of Pesach, Shmon Shmei Chanukah, and the 2 days of Pesach, Ubet yamim tovim shel Atzeret, and the 2 days of Shavuot. So there are 21 days according to the mandatory requirement to recite Hallel. Now comes the Gemara. Rav Ikla Lebavel. Rav came to Bavel. Rav grew up in Eretz Yisrael. He was the number one student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. The editor of the Mishnah. And in fact, Rav is given a certain power that no other Amoraic sage ever was awarded. And that is Rav Tana Upoli. Rav is considered like a Tana Upoli. What does Upoli mean? He can argue with Tanaim. Even though he didn't have smicha. That's the fundamental difference between Tanaim and Amoraim. Tanaim had smicha from somebody who got smicha, from somebody who got smicha, dating all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. However, the Romans, at the end of the 2nd century, legislated that if you grant anybody smicha, the grantor and the grantee are going to be killed. And Rabbi Huda ben Bava, he's one of the Asura Haruvi Malkos, who we mentioned on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, was the last person to grant smicha. Granted smicha to 5 people, Rabbi Meir, 5 big ones, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, gave 5 people smicha. But the way he did it was, he went up on a mountain which only had one-way traffic. So he had them standing on the other side. The Romans were shooting arrows into him, not able to get by because he was standing there. And as he was dying, literally, he granted those five smicha, but they were never able to do it again. So Rav, although being a student of the editor of the mission, Rav Yehuda Nasi, didn't get smicha from Rav Yehuda Nasi. So in theory, he's an Amoraic sage. And there was there's no prohibition, no isur, but there was an accepted practice for Amoraic sages not to dispute and argue with the Tanaim. Was it a self-imposed restriction? Yes. Never. He's never granted the right to... that's correct. In fact, Shmuel is not a student of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was younger than Rabbi. He is a student of Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was another Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So Shmuel was a Talmud of a Talmud. But he is never awarded the title of Shmuel Tanu Par. It's only Rav. So Rav goes up to Eretz Yisrael, and then suddenly he came to Barga. And when did he come? This Thanksgiving Day, which is Rosh Chodesh Kislev. And what happened? Chazinu, he saw the Kakaru Halela Gereisho Yarfa. He saw that they were saying Halel on Rosh Chodesh. Sovar La'afsukin. He wanted to stop them in their tracks. He wanted to stop them in their tracks. But he controlled his anger for a couple of minutes. Keva, the Chaza, the Komidalge, the Luge, since Rav noticed that they were skipping parts of the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, Sha'amari said, Minat Avoseim Viadeh. And this is a local minute of Pachet. A local minute of Pachet. That's it. That's the whole story. So what do they skip? Like we skip. The first half of Lolanu is the first pass of Hashem Zecharanu is Lolanu. Lolanu is not a separate paragraph of Tehillim. It's the first half of Hashem Zecharanu. And Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem is not a separate paragraph. It's the first eight psukim of Ma'ashi. So they decided to skip those two half prakim. And they understood, it's a minute and bubble, I'm not going to go crazy. But now, just as an aside, Tosfos uses this story to challenge a famous Rambam. Rambam writes that since the Gemara says that the recitation of Hallel is only a minhag, the Rambam says you never make a bracha on the recitation of Hallel. You cannot make a bracha on a minhag. Why can't you make a bracha on a minhag? It says vitzivanu.
Yeah.
Well, if it's a minhag, you didn't command us. We started this minhag ourselves. So the Rambam and the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch Paskin, you don't make a bracha on Hallel Rishayish. Says Tosfos, I can prove to you that the original minhag included a bracha. Tell me why, based on this story. Based on the as the Tosfos uses, this story could prove that Rambam is wrong.
He must have heard the
And if there was no bracha, when would he have known that there was a minhag? As soon as they saw that, he wouldn't have to wait until they skipped two half paragraphs. But apparently, they made a bracha. And therefore, his blood is boiling. How can they say vitzivanu if there is no obligation to recite the halakha? Okay, it's a minhag.
But then his blood should have been boiling because they were making a bracha.
No, it was. But Tosfos proves that on minhagim you can make a bracha.
You can.
Yes, that's Tosfos' proof. That's why we make a bracha. We Ashkenazim, we don't daven like Sfarim don't make a bracha when they say halal mishlech. We do, because Tosfos says I can prove that you make a bracha on a minhag. Rav said that it was a minhag, and nonetheless they must have said a bracha. Because otherwise, as soon as they skip the bracha, Rav would know, hey, this must be a minute. That's why they don't say a bracha.
You
don't say,
we make the
bracha, we
don't believe it.
No, the Gemara says that it's a minhag. Yes.
The Sfarim also
have
to say
what?
The Sfarim also have to say
a bracha. According to some who do say a bracha, they don't say ligmor, they say ligra.
No, but normally they say
ligra. What?
Sfarim normally say ligmor.
That's correct. But on Rosh Chodesh, they don't. They say we grow. That's correct. Yes. Okay, so we fumble a little. So there's a long Tosfos and brachos to explain how do I say the words Vitzivon on a minute? It's a good question. In fact, that's the response which everybody has to send up. The Rambam's right, because you can't say Vitzivon. So Tosfos hems and haws, and he has to come up with a distinction between certain minhagim where he acknowledges you don't make a bracha. For example, let's assume. On Hoshana Rabbah, what, in addition to lulav, what do we take on Hoshana Rabbah? Hoshanas. Did anybody ever make a bracha on Hoshanas? The Gemara says it's a minhag Nevi'im. The Nevi'im said we should commemorate the practice that exists in the Beit HaMikdash, where they took Hoshanas every day of Sukkot. So we commemorate on Hoshana Rabbah. So Tosfos acknowledges there's no bracha on the Tivas Hoshanas. And he has to fall for come up with and what's the difference? This minhag, that minhag, it's not for my discussion tonight. Yes.
What's up?
What's up? Yeah.
It seems like it's a roundabout argument, though. He hears them, he's upset, and then he says, well, it's minhag, so
yeah.
It's okay. But because they say the bracha, then it's okay to say a bracha on minhag.
That's what Tosfos says.
You could also say that maybe it wasn't.
Then why do they skip? Why, if it's not a minhag, why is this is the only time where you say what we call half halakha? Why do they introduce half halakha?
I always wondered about half halakha.
Yeah. So now I am going to share with you the Rav's incredible interpretation about why the minhag was created in Bavel. And why they skip these paragraphs, these eight sentences, the first eight sentences of that paragraph and the other one. So the Rav said as follows. We know when Ezra came back from Eretz Yisrael, from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, according to his own count, 42,304 Jews came with him. That was it. That was it. That's not the size of Tel Aviv, not the size of Yerushalayim.
42,000
is less than
the population of
Tel Aviv. No, Tel Aviv is about 42,000. It's about 42,000. Modi'in has more than 42,000 people there. It's unbelievable. That's all they came back. Why did they stay? For the same reason why we stayed. They had a good life in Babylonia. They were doing well, and they didn't feel this compelling need to come back. Ezra was in such a bind that Leviim and Kohanim didn't want to come back. And he was facing a shortage of Kohanim to do the Avodah Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra threatened all the Kohanim. If you're not coming back, I'm going to make an announcement that Truma should be given to a lady instead of a Kohen, and you'll starve. Ezra had to do that. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
He said this to the Kohanim who did come.
No, that who didn't come. That you guys in Babel, they still were mafresh truma samasras. I'm going to say, no Jew should ever give their truma to a Kohen or give to a lady. No, you're not obligated unless you're married to Israel. But the minhag was to be mafresh even in chutzlach for certain things. We still do it in challah. Challah is truma. In chutz la'aretz we still do challah. Not all of them, but we do challah. We do challah. Now, so said the Rav, after a while, 100, 200 years, the people in Babel started feeling a little guilty that they did not join their brethren in Eretz. So instead of using that guilt to pick themselves up and make Aliyah, what they did was they wanted to create a holiday in which they would identify with Achenu B'nai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And they selected Rosh Chodesh. And they recited the Hallel to say to themselves and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to right this wrong. And we are going to sense, awaken the awareness in Bavel as if today is a legitimate Chag. Why is it going to be a legitimate Chag? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Chodesh is a legitimate Chag. So they introduced the Hallel as a method of somehow creating an awareness in their mind that there is something sorely lacking in their practice, and that perhaps something, if we have a broad mass activity which will focus our attention on Eretz Yisrael, perhaps that will serve as a catalyst to get people to move. But they still recognized that they were chutzlachs. So the psukim that make reference to God's abandoning Am Yisrael, and psukim which indicate a period of exile, they skip those psukim entirely. So what is the beginning of Lomana? What's the main pasuk of Lomana? Loma yomru hagoyim ayeinu Eloheinu. Why should the Gentile nations of the world say, where is their God? If there was a God, they shouldn't be stuck in Babel. This God should take them all back to Eretz Yisrael. We're not saying that, Rosh Chodesh. And Ahavti, what do we say? Afafuni chevlei maves. I have been girded, blanketed, wrapped in pangs of death. Sarei sha'ol mitzo'uni. Nothing but anguish and suffering have I encountered. We're skipping those two. Why? We're creating Mr. Rogers' world of make-believe. That's where the whole show came from. That was the inspiration for the show. And I hope nobody's going to see that movie. That's the most boring guy in the world. Ever. In the history of the world. I watched that show so many times with my kids after Sesame. It was always on, Sesame was from 4 to 5, Mr. Rogers was from 5 to 5:30, every single day. And after, Sesame Street had jokes that were intended for the parents. Kids didn't know what they were talking about. And then you come on this guy with the neighbor, taking off his shoes and putting on his suit. And he falls asleep just the way he talks. How can they make a movie for 2 hours with this guy? What? No. I didn't have it at all. So take your grandchildren to see that movie. So in Babel, they made up this thing, the world of make-believe. Making believe they were not chutzlaretz. There's no longer afafuni chevlei maves, no longer pangs of death. God isn't abandoning us anymore. He's taking us back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the origin of Hallel Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Minhag was suggesting the word, and why they skipped those particular.
How did he know that was their source for that?
He just said it. It's a suggestion. No concrete evidence. That's his suggestion. Yes?
So when did Hallel Rosh Chodesh make its way to Eretz Yisrael?
Way later. I'm not sure. It's a very good thing. I don't know historically when it went to Eretz Yisrael. It, no doubt, as we see here, started in Babel. Because when he came down, he had never seen Hallel Rosh Chodesh. Never saw it. It's a good question. I'm not sure when that happened. Not sure when that happened. Yeah. If you now go to page 8 for a second, the roar of the lion, the Shabbos Aryeh, is one of the great, great women in the 17th century. Just to illustrate what people thought of the Shabbos Aryeh, people say, whether it's true or not, I have no idea, but they're not saying about this, most other people, that from the time that Dabai called him up for an aliyah, from the time that he walked from his seat to the bima, he reviewed 600 black Gemara about that in his mind. Not bad. Like I said, you're not saying about this anybody's fault. What? Must have sat in the back of the shoe. Okay. But still, that's also a heck of a feat. But he is one of the outstanding minds of Jewish history in terms of his scope of his breadth of knowledge and his. He's a real, he is the roar of the lion, literally. He attacked. We shunned him all the time. He was really powerful. So here we have the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah about the recitation of Hallel. And the Mishnah says, Mi shahaya eved o isha o katan makrin oto one achareyen ma shehen omrin. Somebody, a husband, a man, a father, is the biggest ignoramus in his family. He has no idea about the text of Halakha. So who is now going to read the Halakha in the house? His servant, or his wife, or a minor? So what does this ignoramus father have to do? He has to read, he has to repeat every single word that the wife says. So the father says, the wife says, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, the Pacha. Huh? Right. Hallelujah, the Kiyuza. Mi Kasher, Lepenu, Hamabi, Lashabes, say the same thing. Says the Shabbos Aryeh. Let's assume a man, an adult man, had been saying the Hallel on behalf of this ignoramus father. Would the father have to repeat everything verbatim?
No.
What principle could he use? Shomei HaKa'onet. Just listen. And then at the end you'll say that there was a response. You say Hallelujah at the end of every paragraph. That's all. So why is it that if the wife says it, you have to say word for word? Says the Shabbos Aryeh, because women are exempt from the mitzvah of Hallel. And the principle of Arvut, that I am responsible for everybody else, doesn't apply to women. Only when they are obligated to perform the mitzvah. But they are not obligated to recite the Hallel. Ah, so now the question is, how far does the does the Shabbos Aryeh go? Does he claim they're not obligated in Simcha completely? Or does he mean, I just disagree with the Ramban, that the origin of Hallel is the mitzvah of Simcha? And that's the way most believe he interprets. You're chayav in Simcha, but that's not an expression of it on a d'oraita level. Hence, the ignoramus husband has to necessarily repeat word for word in order for him to fulfill the mitzvah of Hallel. So, Hayotzei Yidvareinu Tanan, we see a perspective introduced by the Ramban that the recitation of Hallel has its origin and its roots in the mitzvah of Simcha. The mitzvah of Simcha applies certainly every Yom Tov, in the Beis HaMikdash, on Rosh Chodesh as well, and according to the Sifri, even on Shabbos. And that's the intention of Yom Simchat Chet. The mitzvah of Simcha is responsible for the recitation of Hallel, and Simcha is a Doraisa, so Hallel is a Doraisa according to the Rambam. The Shabbos Aryeh clearly disagrees. The Rambam clearly disagrees because he says that the recitation of Hallel is always a mitzvah in the Rabbanan, and the Rambam acknowledges that the mitzvah of Simcha is a Din Doraisa. Next week we will continue with another perspective, that the mitzvah of Halev has its roots in the mitzvah of Pursuing Nisa. That's the origin of the mitzvah of Halev, not Simchas Yavam. So we will continue seeing a couple of sources which will indicate and support that premise, and how that might be even more relevant for us about Yom HaTzmaut and a Yom Yerushalayim.
Next week,
yeah, back to Wednesday, and Mazal Tov to Joy. Joy, simple.